It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Back here on the Drive, hour number 2 getting underway, and the Top 4 at 4 is brought to you by First Bank, Emory Road, where we'll be tomorrow. Come on out and see us. Get your free tickets to Fan Run Night at Smokies Park, which is 3 weeks from tomorrow night. So everybody start getting in Fan Run mode. Fan Run Night at Smokies Park, very excited about that one. Your first chance to get a free ticket to that tomorrow at First Bank on Emory Road. Tucker Harlan, what do you got?
Thank you, Russell. At number 1, with its win over Queens last night, Tennessee has eclipsed 40 wins in a season for the 5th time in Tony Vitello's tenure. You have to go back to Rod Delmonico's 2005 season to find a 40-win season at Tennessee before Vitello came along.
He's killing it, man. Killing it.
What did I see? We have 14 all-time, and Tony owns 5 of them. It's pretty good.
It's very similar to how Barnes does with the basketball. Like, a lot of those records, Barnes is starting to just boom, boom, click one after another off the list. I mean, Barnes owns almost all the number one, you know, obviously the number one, top fives, most weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
All that kind of stuff, but Vitello's the same way.
At number 2, LSU head coach Brian Kelly had words to say about the current state of affairs in college football in regards to NIL. "We're not in the market of buying players," Kelly said. "Unfortunately, right now, that's what some guys are looking for. They want to be bought."
How does he expect to win with this policy, or is he just lying?
They don't want to get bought. They want to be paid. There's a subtle difference. Buying players.
Like, is this smart for him to say that out loud?
Well, he's just
like,
translation, what that sounds like to me is my NIL, for whatever reason,
we're broke.
My NIL collective isn't as good as other schools.
This is the same athletic department that robbed from a children's hospital. So I would not be surprised if the money's hard to come by.
Like, kids with little kids. I think it was
Our Lady of the Immaculate Conception in the Lake, King Arthur's
Children's Cancer Center.
Yeah.
Only the best. Houston, only the best.
At number 3, what had been a slow inching march to a new model of high-level college football has quickly become a seeming inevitability, excuse me. And one in the not-too-distant future, as TCU head coach Sonny Dykes sees things. "There's going to be a split eventually," Dykes said. "There is such a big difference right now between the haves and have-nots, and I think we'll eventually split into 2 separate divisions. Alabama and Louisiana Tech simply aren't playing the same sport."
Everything he said was spot on. It's absolutely 100% true. And it's not – I mean, you're not going to play – it'd be like asking a UFL team to play an NFL team. They have very little in common. Other than the basic rules of the game.
I hate we're losing that aspect of it, though, man. I mean, like, Louisiana Tech, that's a D1 football program. Like, that's I don't have any problem playing them. They're a group of 5 opponent. I hate to see them left behind. I just don't like seeing the UTCs and the Tennessee Martins of the world. Louisiana Tech, if you're not, like, they'll beat you. They've beaten SEC teams before.
Yeah, but they can't.
I get it. They can't. They're
can't
not going
compete.
To command the dollars. But this is what Davey Hutchin and all of his ilk wanted, is 70-team college football league. And yeah, we know that's where it's headed.
Next time we get old Davey on, we need to call him on the carpet, see if he wants to revisit it.
That's what I like about old Davey, is he's actually much younger than us, but he's one of us. He's an old spirit.
An old soul, he sure is.
And finally, at number 4, the Milwaukee Brewers reinstated outfielder Christian Yelich from the 10-day injured list ahead of Wednesday's game in Kansas City. Infielder Tyler Black was optioned to AAA Nashville to make room for Yelich, who was in the lineup batting 3rd as the DH against the Royals.
That was the guy, our boy, the clubby up at Smokey's Park. That was his guy.
Yep,
the
Tyler
Brewers.
Black.
Okay. He's bouncing around a little bit. It's okay. He'll be back. Thank you. Tucker. Good top four right there. Yeah, man, First Bank tomorrow, Emory Road in beautiful Powell. Come on by and see us. I'm going to hook you up with a couple of tickets. I'll give you three or four of them to Smokey's Park so you can bring a friend up there for Fan Run Night. 3 weeks from tomorrow, working on some cool giveaways, some shirts, some koozies, things like that for Fan Run Night. We're very excited about it. It's going to be a good time.
Did you hear John earlier?
Yeah.
Sounds like he's maybe
very confident.
He said he did start to get a little bit nervous.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad you brought this up. I was wanting to. He's
it's a lot of pressure.
He's feeling extremely confident.
He said he tweaked his back last Saturday or Sunday.
He was big talking,
laying the groundwork, huh? Yeah. A little excuse.
He was big talking me. He said I asked if he was aware that we were expecting him to pitch from the rubber.
He said, of course.
And he said yes, and he said he was going to absolutely just groove a curveball for a strike.
Has he thrown?
Can he throw a curveball?
I don't think he even knows how to throw a curveball.
I was going
to,
yeah. Does he know the proper motion of the wrist and fingers? Does he know the grip?
I mean, there's a good chance that
Does he know a fastball grip?
Reed may be heading towards, like, major shoulder surgery or Tommy John. At the end.
Yeah, Tommy John. One throw, and that was it.
Done. Harvesting the UCLs at Smoky Stadium.
I don't know. He's
Is he a four-seam guy or is he a two-seam sinker guy? He seemed like a sinker baller.
Can't wait to find out.
Why would you not, even if you're on, you know, I mean, 60 feet, 60 feet, 6 inches, if you're throwing it from the top of the, you know, the mound from the rubber, why not just lob one in there? Just I'm just wanting to get it there.
That's what Kinect did when he threw out the first pitch. Just over the top.
Yeah.
Right there on the button.
That guy back
there. No one's got a gun on it. No one's going to say, did you see John Reed throw 81? Like, no one's going to say that.
That's like the dumbest thing ever.
You think he could throw 80? Could anybody here throw 80?
No.
No, no.
Nobody in this building could. Absolutely not.
Certainly not.
I'd be surprised if anybody in the building could throw over 70.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Do they still have the pitch meter up at Smokey's Park? Up in the corner?
Oh, I don't know. I mean,
I remember doing that as a kid. Go up there and
TrackMan will be operational.
Okay.
So can we take batting practice? That's what I want to do.
Ooh, that'd be fun.
Fan run home run derby contest. Who can get it out of the infield? Let's get Joshy Boy. He's been hanging forever in a day. What's up, Joshy Boy?
What's up, guys?
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you.
You're going to be in my neck of the woods tomorrow.
Really? You coming out?
I don't know. I might.
Come on out and see us. Open a checking account.
You're going to be at Fan Run Night at Smokey Stadium, right, Joshy Boy?
What bank are you guys going to be at tomorrow?
First Bank, Emory Road. I believe it's over there near Buffalo.
First Horizon.
Okay. Well, I think you could still come in there, Joshy Boy. They're not going to turn you around.
Know.
But
no,
it's over
that.
There near the Wild Wing Cafe.
Oh, yeah, I know where it's at. Yeah. So, I'll be at Smokey's Night probably. I'm getting free tickets from somebody I know.
Oh, good.
How hard do you think you could throw a baseball, Joshy Boy?
I'd say about maybe 55 to 60, maybe on a good day.
I don't think I could hit 50.
What about you, Russ?
Well, that's this is how I messed up my shoulder. These problems I have is from coaching Little League and just throwing all out to the kids. And, like, I probably need surgery or something eventually. Like, it's been wrecked for over a year.
Which is a long way.
Like old Jake Taylor over here just –
yeah,
be wrapped up with gauntlet, those ace bandages and giant bags of ice all over him.
Which is a long way of saying, as Brad and LaFollette would say, you could call me Betty Spaghetti, Joshy Boy.
Yeah. I got a serious question I want you to ask Tony when he comes on from Joshy Boy, okay?
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah, what you got?
How far, Tony, do you think the Vols will go this year?
He's not going to answer that.
He's not?
Not straight away. He'll give you what their expectations are.
We hope to go all the way.
What do you think, Ray? How would Vitello respond to that?
I mean, what are your expectations if you get to Omaha? It's my question.
He really doesn't want to answer that.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. He'll say their expectations, they make it to Omaha, they expect to win.
To get to a championship game, yeah.
Every time that guy walks out with his crew on the field, those dudes expect to win every game they play.
He will give you the Vitello version, the most non-coach speaky version he can of we're taking it one game at a time.
Yeah.
You know, it's a long road, and, man, we got so much baseball yet to play there. I'm just trying to figure out how to win a couple of games at Vandy this week. I'm not trying to blow you off, Joshy boy. I don't want to – I don't know. I mean,
I get it.
Throw it at him if you want to.
You want us to ask him how close if he knew how close he was to getting ran the other day.
I'm going to ask him about that.
Yeah, ask him about that. Yeah.
Like so, I would like to know, Josh, if he knows and puts the brakes on. He knows it's early.
No, I think there might be a little bit of growth there. I think the Tony Vitello of 2 years might get tossed two years ago.
Yeah, I think he's kind of toned it down a little bit.
I think he just realized, you know, as the first batter of the game, I can't get tossed right now in a rubber match like this. My team needs me.
It's an important spot, man. It's getting down towards the end of the year.
I mean, we were all redneck mad when it happened.
But
he got control of himself.
Yeah. On the Tennessee football, looking at these look ahead lines, these five games for this season, Vegas is going to make money any way they can. They want you to have action on any side. The one that sticks out to me, though, is Tennessee being a 5-point underdog at Oklahoma. I think the Vols cover that 5 at Oklahoma because I think we do fix our road woes this season.
I ain't interested in covering, Joshy boy.
Yeah, I know. I know you want to win every game.
I want to win.
Build this year. Yeah, I want to win.
I want to win, Joshy boy.
Yeah. But Vegas wouldn't have those tall buildings if they were not making money.
It's true. That is true. I tell you what, I'm a little bit I guess I shouldn't be shocked. Oklahoma, by the way, had one of the quieter 10-win seasons in recent memory last year.
They really did.
Nobody realized it, but they kind of
Did they win their bowl game or lose it?
Oh, no.
I didn't think so. I thought they got smashed because their quarter – what's his name?
Jackson Arnold.
Yeah, he looked terrible in that game.
Yeah.
Smashed!
So, Russ, are you worried after our Braves getting swept by the Dodgers? I know we won last night, but – is it time to worry yet that we're second in the division to a red-hot Phillies team that's in first?
Probably a little bit early to be worried. I mean, I'm concerned. Like, you know, the Olson thing, like, that can't go on. He's going to figure it out, right? Matt Olson is going to start hitting eventually. It's crazy to me that they just leave him in that cleanup spot. He's underneath the Mendoza line, and Snicker does not move him.
I would put him down at the bottom of the order until he can figure it out, just my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I would be very tempted to do that, but, I mean, you would have done it like 2 weeks ago, but he just keeps trotting him back out there, and I guess the thinking is that he's just going to figure it out. Like, Acuna's starting to come around. He's starting to hit a little bit, which you figured would happen. Riley's starting to hit a little bit.
Is this as long a slump?
I mean, it's like season long. He's got what, one home run this year, Joshy boy? I mean,
yeah, one home run.
The guy led the majors last year.
We're sitting here in Maine. He never really got started. He hadn't gotten started.
Not really, no. I mean, he's sitting underneath 200. Like, he's just not had a good season. So we'll see if he works his way out of it. I'm not terribly concerned, but I'm not just overly confident either.
Russ, out the door, if Tony Vols is listening right now, I do have something I do want to tell him. I actually am a fan of Dean Curley, unlike Brad and LaFollette. See ya.
Wow.
Brad is really, it's quite the heel turn he's taken on this.
Brad says, he DM'd me, by the way, about half an hour ago. Bring me on with Tony, he says. We'll do it live.
We'll do it live.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Which I think is a great idea. You guys are telling me it's crazy. Do not put that guy on with Vitello. It's what you all said to me.
Absolutely not.
I guess the question is, would you like to have Tony back on at some point? And if so, do we know how this phone call is going to go? Can Brad behave himself? I think maybe he could. I think he probably could. But things can get out of hand in a debate. Feelings can get hurt. Allegiances murkied.
He talks a big game. But once, if I put him on the air with Tony Vitello in front of thousands of people, he would totally fanboy out. Oh, I'm sorry, Tony. You're right. You're the man, Tony. Oh, you know what you're doing. Curly's the best. I don't even know what I was thinking, ever questioning any of your decisions, Tony. I mean, you'd be backpedaling faster than Deion Sanders.
And I know why this, because of that fact that this looks really attractive to you to go ahead and do it just to watch him. But I just think it's a bad idea. I can pull his audio. You know, I don't even really want to do that just because it's
too much work.
Why will we play something that stupid?
I don't know.
To Tony.
We play rock songs with him and get his take on whether or not they're good. Why do we do any of the stupid things we do on this show? If stupidity were suddenly taken out of the equation as one of the key ingredients of this radio program, the entire system would collapse. It might be said that we run on stupidity, really.
Mm. I mean, I've found it. I've got it. I'll play it for you. It's just, it's kind of cringe. Like, I don't want to embarrass
it's
Brad.
It's
so stupid. That it's so moronic. The take. It's just like, man, dude, you're my friend at the end of the day, Brad, and I don't want you to embarrass yourself in front of our head coach.
Joke!
Because he will think you are a glue-eating moron if he hears his take.
Okay. Could have just said no.
Yeah, but what's the fun in that?
Quick break. When we continue, we'll reset this topic. The betting lines that Joshy Boy was referencing, DraftKings putting out 5 betting lines for Tennessee football games. And, yeah, a 5-point dog against Oklahoma, big dogs against Georgia, slight dogs against Alabama. We'll go through these betting lines and we'll make some picks. We'll make some picks against these early spreads, which will certainly change and adjust by the time we get closer to these games. Stay with us. It is The Drive. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Back here on The Drive, Fan Run Radio coming to you live this afternoon from the new White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Tony Vitello in 1 hour. Russell, Bear, Houston, and Tucker with you. And the college football betting lines coming out. That can mean only one thing.
It's almost magazine time.
Oh, yeah.
I knew it.
I love preseason college football magazine, stadium artist renderings, and that's about it.
So when you're at the grocery, have you started walking down that magazine aisle looking?
No, because I've been meaning to do this, though. Like, they will tell you when they come out. New magazines for the past couple of years have typically come out on a Tuesday. It's usually right there towards the end of May. So I'm going to check. And usually I get the Athlon, that your Lindy's, they'll come out. I think Athlon hits first. Maybe it's like the 20th, and then like the next week it'll be your Lindy's.
I wait patiently for Phil Steele at the end of June.
See, I'm just not a big Phil Steele guy. I like Phil Steele. Everybody should have a healthy respect for Phil Steele.
Yes.
That is a gambler's Bible.
I was going to say, it's just too much.
It's too much.
That's not really what I'm in it for. I'm in it for.
I want a narrative. I want a story. I want to be able to read it and kind of.
It's more like a phone, like an old school, like you wouldn't know. None of you all would know what this is, like phone books.
But I mean, you got to have the cheerleader section. You got to have the opposing anonymous coach. It was probably the best
part
of it.
That I was going to say. I haven't done this with you guys yet. That is my favorite thing in the world. The anonymous coaches of the SEC talk about other teams. I love it more than anything.
I read those first for every team.
That's the first thing I go to.
I go through all.
Like
first
you and, Dave and you guys used to do it like you did. Would do a dramatic reading.
Yeah, and then we'd have to guess like who we thought it was.
Yeah,
and you never know, but it was like,
did you ever hear him do it? It's hilarious.
Thank you.
The recruiting section and how they, you know, who the rosters and everything.
Yeah.
And
the
projected start, the projected two deep, which is never right, but still fun.
I remember, I think it was football time in Tennessee. They used to do, like, they would have Tennessee's recruiting class, and then it would give, like, a Tennessee Vol to compare them to. I always loved that one. They're like, oh, this receiver compares to Marcus Nash. I'm like, oh, that's great. Yeah. The other guy, Peerless, oh, we're going to have a squad.
And then when it pan out, and 4 years later, you're like, I thought this guy was going to be Marcus Nash, and he's not even in the rotation.
But in the moment, you're very excited for that recruit.
When does the first official UT 2-deep drop this summer?
Like official from UT?
Game week.
Yeah, that one with the –
yeah, they don't do that
the
until
either
game
or.
Week. And that's –
well, they'll put those
worthless.
Out in August. Usually in fall camp.
They'll put out a roster.
Something,
they'll put out a roster. They won't put out a two-deep, a depth chart until the week of the first game, and it's never right.
They'll put the roster out. I'm talking about the one that's always like about – none of it's right, but it still has like the pronunciation.
That will be put out the Monday of the first game week when they put out the game notes to the media.
Am I thinking of something completely different?
There's something that comes up.
Are you thinking about just the fall roster?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, with the pronunciations?
Yeah.
Just like 1 through 85? Yeah, that might be earlier. But no, depth chart? No, you won't see that till game week. Probably
no,
like Thursday.
The roster.
Yeah.
NC State, a 5.5-point underdog to our Volunteers. That one kind of scares me, too, because I feel like – not that we should bludgeon NC State, but that we shouldn't be worried by the fourth quarter.
No, I did a little short thing with John earlier, and he was like, "Oh, 5.5 favorite over NC State. What are your thoughts?" And I was like, "That scares me a little bit," because I've been saying all along like that game.
NC State scared me since we talked to our guy Vance.
Like I know it's neutral site, but it's in North Carolina. I mean, it's in their backyard. Not that their fans are going to be overpowering, but like that's a good squad. It's a good team.
I think most of my anxiety is based on, you know, when we talked to Houston Fancher and he was talking about him.
I don't know, man. I see Heupel being prepared. I see us being ready. If we win that game by 6 points, that'll be worrisome, man. That'll be a stress-laden voluntary reaction.
Yes.
Doing
so you want just a beatdown?
Well, I mean,
you expect one?
I'm expecting like something similar to what we saw in the bowl game. I want to go in there and beat those guys 35-17.
Just jump on them, get out in front of them, roll.
Yeah, I don't think we'll be running the clock or anything at the end of the game. But
I could see it being tight for a half, and we just slowly pull away in the second half. Or vice versa. We get up big, and then they kind of – eat into it a little bit.
We take the air out of the ball and sort of just kind of get out of there.
Yeah, most dangerous scenario is if it really is like a 5-point game at the end. You don't want to let a team like that hang around.
No,
I mean, do any of you think NC State will cover 5.5?
I think they could.
Yeah, I don't.
I think they could lose that game.
I do too. I'm predicting
Tucker,
Tennessee to win by more than a touchdown. But
Tucker, it looks like somebody just farted. I mean, that's just like, terrible. Look,
you don't think there's any way they can beat us?
Oh, they have a quarterback that's proven, so that's one advantage that they have going into the game. But you know, that's a game you got to win because if you don't win that game, you're not winning at Oklahoma. I'll just throw that out there.
No, I believe that.
I think that's what scares me the most. If you lose to NC State, you're not
beating
Oklahoma.
It's such a bad sign.
Florida will be a dogfight.
You lose to NC State, that will be such a buzzkill after how pumped
and
up we're going to be for this season.
That whole thing we talk about, like you'd be upside down on your numbers. I mean, you lose to NC State, and you go to 0-1, and then we start doing the note. You're chasing.
Well, it's game two, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you'll be fortunate to be 9-3 by the end of the season if you lose to them.
No, we're hammering them.
You don't win that game – feel like you're behind the eight ball as far as the playoffs go.
I'm so much more worried about Florida than I am NC State.
11-point favorite over them.
I mean,
that number is stupid.
That's ridiculous. Just BVS. That's all that is, man. Are you guys more worried about NC State than Florida?
No. I'm absolutely
no. John said it best.
Have you woken up in the middle of the night and wondered whether, you know, was NC State going to destroy us, destroy our hopes and dreams? No.
John said it best. That 11 is both too high and too low. Like, in my head.
Yeah, that makes sense.
We you know, like, it's just, it's a scary, you know.
I mean, on paper, we're probably.
I hate it already. I hate it.
On our home field, if you just take the names off the uniforms, I mean, what do you think? We should beat that team by
2 or 3 touchdowns. Yeah. Yeah.
We won that game here last, 2 years ago.
They were throwing in the end zone.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. There were so many great plays. Hooker was out of his mind. Brew had a huge game. I remember
the Ramel Keaton catch.
Oh, the Ramel Keaton catch. Like, we were so good that. And the first thing I think of what I think of that game is that quarterback throwing downfield as time expires and just wanting to cry. I just wanted to cry. I was so just beaten. I was at the game, and we had really good seats. We're down there on the field right in front of the kick. When they did that onside kick,
yeah.
I remember the guy caught it and took off running.
And for a split second, you're like.
Yeah. No, I screamed like a woman.
I remember this.
High-pitched shriek. I just screamed when it happened. I was so.
I remember you talking about that.
Oh, my God. I was so scared. And then you had to sweat out a couple of plays at the end. And they're, oh, man, it was just. We won the game. We had so many great plays. That's all I can think of.
What did the scream sound like again?
Oh, no. Oh, no. No. All my masculinity, every ounce of testosterone just fleed from my, and I was just a sniveling mess. Oh, it was awful.
No, it was bad.
It's blood.
Well, he catches it running, and even though we all knew the rules,
yeah,
there's that split second where you're like, he's going to score.
You're not thinking about it.
He can't score. But my brain sees something different. My feelings are involved.
I saw a dude in that uniform.
In your mind, you're immediately thinking, too, and we don't have enough time to do anything else. It's over. We've lost. No, not again.
It's pain.
It's what I think of, man. It's what I think of.
Who was it that got him around the legs to force that throw to be short? Thank God for that guy.
Who was that?
Was it Tyler Barron?
It might have been.
I can't remember. He got just enough.
Yeah.
Just enough.
The hell is that? I saw where he's like, there was some article I saw, you know, top three destinations for Tyler Barron from the transfer portal.
Who cares?
What are they?
Well, Miami?
I don't know.
Oh.
Ole Miss. Who? I don't even remember who the quarterback was throwing that pass. Like, it doesn't
Anthony
even matter.
Richardson.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to see him this
year. Look like,
as Titans fans,
we made him. We made him a first round draft pick.
Yes,
you're welcome,
yes.
Anthony Richardson.
He got a nice 400 yards out of that game.
Oh, yeah, 450 probably. 450, yeah, best game he ever had.
It's the only good game he's ever had. No, he sucked. His entire life. That's the only time he ever did anything.
That was the game that Joe Milton. He needed one of those games, and he'd have been like a third rounder, but he never got it because he didn't play Tennessee's defense.
Yeah, I mean, our secondary had one of those days where they just looks like they forgot how to play.
And legitimately, I watched him play a lot. He actually played really well that day, way better than he ever played before.
Oh, he was super accurate.
Yes, and he's not super accurate.
No.
But, man, he could not miss. And we couldn't tackle, I remember.
No, that's when do you not remember some of our DBs, like, shying away from contact? No,
their first touchdown, and the guy came and got stiff-armed at the 10. The mm-hmm. tight end just rolled right in.
I remember getting
– Who was that who got just face-planted?
Was it Haddon?
There. It wasn't Haddon. It was – it might have been.
I remember Shorter. That was their tight end. He caught one midfield, gets hit in the back, spins, and then stiff arms another guy and walks into the end zone.
Was it him or was it that Zipperer guy?
Zipperer.
Shorter had one. And I think Zipperer had the shorter touchdown. Crazy.
We still somehow won that game.
Somehow, some way, the dream lived on.
Oklahoma, a 5-point favorite in Norman. I mean, that one kind of surprised me. It's It does, but it doesn't. I'm kind of, I don't know if expecting to win is right, but I feel more confident about Oklahoma than I do Florida.
I am quickly building up a serious black rage at all things Oklahoma. I'm sick of these people. We'll get down there and smash them.
Smash!
What did they do to you?
Join the SEC.
That's fair.
Scheduled us. You got, I mean, Houston, what are your expectations as we sit here in early May for Tennessee at Oklahoma in week four?
I think the guys will be ready because I know as a coach you take every game seriously. You take conference games more seriously. There's no way there's ever been a game that's going to matter more to Josh Heupel than his first trip back to Oklahoma as the head coach of another team.
And he will downplay it and pretend like
he will be the master at saying nothing about it. But
yeah,
I think
but
deep down you know.
We've all seen him enough to know
that
it matters.
Yeah.
It's personal. I don't think for say if he could hang a 50 burger on Oklahoma in Norman, he'd do it in a heartbeat.
Bama plus, or I guess Vols plus three, Alabama 3-point favorite in Neyland.
I'll go ahead and say it right now. Bring me Bama. Bring me Kalen DeBoer.
Wow. A lot of bravado coming from the Bear this afternoon.
I feel good about that. Well, that's the thing. I mean, the players may have seen an environment like this. He hasn't. That will be an eye-opening experience for him that night, for sure.
You know, how's he going to like Death Valley at 8 o'clock at night?
Good luck.
100,000 drunken LSU fans.
Georgia, 18-point favorites.
They've just replaced Alabama from a few years ago.
The sad part is we're better.
We don't suck anymore.
We're better, and the line is what it used to be when we would play Alabama.
Hard to argue against it on the road down there. I mean, I don't feel confident about that game.
No. How could you?
But I look forward to us getting a shot at busting them in the mouth.
Our offense hasn't worked against them. They're the one team. Our offense has worked against Alabama, against Florida, against everybody else that we've played. Nobody has the Heupel thing figured out but Georgia.
Do they have it figured out, or do they? Is it just such a huge talent? Their talent on defense is, I mean, all those guys are playing in the NFL. Almost every one of them.
It just feels like to beat them, we're gonna have to play some defense, man. Because we're not gonna score 30 or 40 points down there. Like we're gonna have to figure out a 24-17 game or something, and that doesn't seem very likely.
I don't know. I mean. That'll be one of the really good matchups, our front seven against their offensive line and running backs. That'll be interesting to watch because I think we can go toe-to-toe with them. They're going to be running into our strength, which should be that front. I feel like on defense, a lot of it's just going to come down to if we can have two guys, you know, the corners. Secondary is my big worry.
I'd like to see some other lines, too, for, you know, Mississippi State, Arkansas. I'm guessing we'll be a big home favorite over Mississippi State. Like, at Arkansas, though.
That's dangerous.
I think we'll be favored, but I don't think it'll be double digits.
I don't know. Aren't they supposed to be, like, the second worst team in the conference this year?
I want to say they were either, like, 14 or maybe 15.
Maybe they were 14. Maybe
14 was right.
All I'll say is we're going to Fayetteville.
The Hogs.
I do hate playing down there. We've had some really good teams struggle and really good teams lose down there.
That's 99. A team that's trying to run out its head coach.
Yeah,
we've got to beat them.
A lot of it is where are they just mentally and the vibe around their program by the time – that game's like right in the middle of the season.
Yeah, you'll be a good month in point.
If he has a good start, Hornet's nest. It always is.
See what Bobby P can do over there for him.
Stabbing
Bobby
in the
P
back.
Is
I
back.
Forgot all about that.
Wonder if he's on a Harley ride right about now.
Gotta be careful with that.
Quick timeout. When we continue, Kendall Rogers, D1 Baseball, has released his latest. We call this baseball bracketology. He's like the Lunardi of that world, and we'll tell you who he's got in Tennessee's regional. Of course, Tennessee looking like they're going to host a regional and probably a super regional as well. Who could be rolling into Knoxville the week of Fan Run Night at Smokey's Party? That's another thing that's going to be so fun about that is we have Fan Run Night Thursday. The regional starts on Friday. It's going to be a great baseball weekend here in East Tennessee. We'll talk about potential matchups for Tony Vitello's guys when we continue right after the break here on Fan Run Radio. Back with more after this. Back here on The Drive, Fan Run Radio, a raucous debate has broken out on my social media for the hot dog thing. People are generally pro ketchup here in our audience. 547 votes cast. Does ketchup belong on hot dogs? 58.3% say yes. 28.3% say no. 13.3% say hell no.
I feel like that there's a lot of people that, you know, mix ketchup and mustard, and they don't see it as a big deal.
Some people see it as a big deal. Nick says ketchup doesn't go on anything.
I can't get that. I mean, ketchup, burgers, French fries.
Sean says, good to see that roughly half your listeners are 12-year-olds that like condensed sweetened tomato soup on their hot dogs. We have to start them listening while they are young to become a lifelong listener.
12 years old chronologically, and a lot of our listeners emotionally. We got to take shots.
Brad says, how TF is this a hot question? Tragic Johnson says, people that put ketchup on their hot dogs use 89 octane, hate sushi, think wrestling is real, and use white bread as their hot dog bun.
Four out of five there on that.
I don't know. What 89 octane, that's just the regular, right? That's what I use.
That's the one I don't.
You use the more expensive gas?
Uh-uh.
What do you use?
The 87.
Oh, that's the low. Yeah, that's what I use.
Yeah. He's talking about mid-range.
Oh, so he's saying that people who use the 89, they think. I just remember I saw, when I was very young, I saw Jimmy Johnson, the race car driver, not the football coach.
Right.
Was answering questions from this about, and he said, there's no difference. Mm-hmm. And I just figured at the time, it was like, Jimmy Johnson, best NASCAR driver on the circuit. If he says there ain't no difference, there ain't no difference. I've been using 87 ever since, and I don't think it's caused a problem.
No, there's really not. And what they use in those things, I mean, it's totally different from what comes out of – it doesn't even smell like gasoline. It's got a really weird
– You hate sushi, for sure. Like, never had sushi.
Yeah.
You never will. Can you imagine a sushi roll going in Bear's mouth?
Was that on the list?
I don't know that it's universally awesome. Should it go on the list? I'm always open to put something on the
list.
Tucker,
do you like sushi?
I do not.
Okay.
I don't eat raw stuff.
They make cooked sushi. Tempura shrimp.
California roll.
Philly roll.
It's a very controversial item. You either love it or you absolutely hate it.
Yeah, I don't think it's universally beloved.
It's just not. I can tell you, I would not eat that. It's not appetizing to me. I'm fairly certain I can find some things that would not eat.
It's a one in Rome thing for me, but if it's like my choice, hey, Russell, you want to go out? I'm never saying let's go get sushi.
No, I'm saying let's go to a steakhouse. Let's go to a steakhouse.
We did do.
No, I like Cajun and Creole would be my first choice.
Love that.
Really? That's your first choice?
My absolute first choice would be Creole or Cajun I could live on Creole food forever.
Corey says, if you put ketchup on a hot dog, your mom probably cuts it up for you. That's pretty good.
Well, I think I remember I used to cut your hot dog up for you. And you had little guys with a little ketchup in there.
Wrap that. That's the easiest parent, the easiest dad lunch of all time for kids. With that hot dog in a paper towel.
Microwave
that bad boy for what, like 20, 30 seconds,
yep.
Something like that?
And get the pears, bun. So they got the fruit, and you can get them a little vegetable.
Hot dog, I mean, that's what you get. Get what you get. Don't squirt it. Ain't no side orders for this dad lunch.
Then,
kidding me?
The cub would bang on his high chair until I go get the ketchup out of the fridge. Give him good squirt there for his hot dog. You definitely grow out of it after you're a kid.
All right. D1 baseball. Kendall Rogers has his latest Field of 64 projections out. And as somebody said earlier, Tennessee is the number 3 overall seed in this latest bracketology, whatever you want to call it. And he's got the Knoxville region. Our regional opponents would be UConn as the 2 seed, Virginia Tech as the 3 seed, and Niagara as the 4 seed. And it's very interesting. He has Kentucky as the number 1 overall seed and Texas A&M as the number 2 overall seed.
Kentucky is up there in the RPI. I think they're – are they? I guess they must be first if they're giving him that.
Yeah. I guess I'm fine with that. I don't
Kentucky
want that.
Would go into the tournament as a number 1 overall
according
seed,
to Kendall Rogers right now.
They're leading the SEC right now. I mean, they're good. I know we beat them, but, I mean, they're good.
I mean, we're
– actually, right now, A&M is 1 in the RPI, Kentucky 2, Tennessee 8.
I mean, could you not see that? I mean, I'm not saying they're not good, but I think – how their season comes to an end is they're going to get absolutely mauled by, you know, a gorilla ball type.
Yeah,
team.
They don't play modern baseball, man. I just don't.
They do that, try and do all that small ball stuff, and they're going to come up against a super.
Did you see the
like
one
us.
From last week, like the double fake steal? They stole home. They faked the steal of second and stole home. Then the guy goes back to first. They throw home to get the play, and then the guy steals second, and they were both safe. It was actually a pretty good play.
Well, I mean, I guess the –
just
the
very unconventional.
What they would probably say, and, you know, this is the popular criticism of the analytics community, is, yeah, over a 160-game schedule, that's going to get you the best record, is not playing small ball and stuff like that. But the problem is, you, as we all know, you get into a best-of-five-game series in the big leagues, and it can go – it can go poorly for you. We've seen that, but I don't know if that translates as much to the college game. I'm surprised they have had as much success as they have had playing the way they play.
Well, I mean, when they get up, it's what happened when they played us. I felt like was it when they get matched up with a team that is a lot better athletically and defensively, and it's harder to make those small ball plays. Play in and play out to be able to manufacture runs when you're playing a really good team that can make the hard throws that you have to make when you're playing a small ball team like that.
I don't know anything about UConn or Virginia Tech. Does that projection worry anybody at all?
No, the only thing, it'd be fun to, you know, wax UConn and kind of lord it over Aaron Torres when we have him on.
I'm sure he's pretty worried. UConn baseball fans are – well.
I think he's pretty content in his Husky fandom yeah. right now.
Wait, who'd you say? It was Georgia? You're saying or is that for the regional?
Our regional would be UConn, Virginia Tech, Niagara.
Yeah, okay.
Now,
that's
what about who does he have as projected to play if we in the Super?
That's what who would the 3 seed play? Would
the
it be
14.
The 14? Let's see if I can find that for. Oh, that would be Georgia. Yeah.
Yeah, it's Georgia. Oh. Yeah, I was going to say have you seen that 4 group right there?
Oh, they got Wake, Southern Miss, and Austin Peay. My goodness. I don't even know they come out of that.
A Tennessee-Southern Miss rematch of the Supers in
How about
Knoxville?
Chase Burns and Wake coming in here?
Both of those possibilities are interesting.
How about Billy, Bargo, Blake, and Simo and Quivar sending Burns back out of here on a freight train?
Did I see that Austin Peay leads the country in home runs now?
Yes.
I think they do.
That's right. Yeah.
It's a tough regional.
That'd be a tough one, too, if they got it through.
Who do you want out of that mix?
Niagara?
I mean, Austin Peay, clearly. But
Austin Peay.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you'd want Austin Peay, but like I said, they hit dingers. Yeah. We throw strikes, and they hit dingers.
We want a rematch with Southern Miss. We had some heat with them last year.
I don't know. We beat them on their home turf. They'd want revenge.
Bring them on.
Wake might maybe Wake. They've been slipping. All they got's Burns. Our other pitchers stink.
Are our folks going to show up for – I mean, I know they'll show up. I know it'll be a hot ticket. But did you guys see the clip going around of Jack Leiter talking about playing in Tennessee?
Yeah.
We don't have that student section anymore.
The Lindsay Loons or
no,
whatever
they
were
don't,
called.
They don't go
Legends
over the,
of Lindsay Nelson.
They don't go over there and heckle anymore.
Well, all those guys that did graduated, yeah, and nobody picked up the torch.
That, and then they added more seats there toward the bottom, so they're not like front and center anymore.
But you could still have, again, all it they takes is a dozen one drunken frat boys to really get it right. We don't have that. I've been to several games over there. All great crowds, but nobody is really carrying the fight. Nobody is getting
making it had a
big time
baseball environment. It, you know, it's not that, but there wasn't any.
Should we ask Tony about that?
Have we lost our ability to make it nasty?
Where is the nastiness? Where's the edge in Lindsay Nelson?
We've lost our nasty, Russ. We absolutely have.
I'll put that on there. It's a lot better than Joshy Boy's "How far can we go?" question. I did write that down.
But we don't play. They don't play on the is
shots fired,
the
Joshy Boy. Don't jump in my DMs and let's not have a repeat of the ugly incident from a couple of weeks ago. I'm just breaking your balls a little, man. It's all good.
But we don't play with that. The current players are a lot more reserved.
Well, that's fine, but the fans. I mean, we need a
we all
dozen,
kind of fed off each other,
15,
though.
20 drunken frat boys in there heckling, chanting bad things about the opposing team's girlfriends, mamas, sisters, particularly any female family members or
babies,
close acquaintances. Mamas. Should be absolutely on the table to the point where you're wondering, should I really bring my kids to this? Borderline dangerous. That's what it needs to be for this regional, super regional atmosphere.
More of an R-rated atmosphere?
Heavy PG-13. Heavy PG-13.
Light violence, language.
You can get away with a lot more PG-13 now than you could back in my day.
Yeah.
Partial nudity?
Mm-hmm.
In the stadium?
Hell, why not?
Don't want the boys distracted now.
That group did seem to feed off those Legends of Lindsay.
Oh.
It was a very –
well, they got it. Jack Leiter talked about it. They were in his head.
They were like, what game? What, you know, and he's just like, Tennessee
was
crazy.
Who was the kid from LSU? The first –
Trey Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
Gave him hell. Step it up, students. Step up your game. Somebody pick up the banner from the Legends of Lindsay and carry the fight. I'm very disappointed in that. I mean, that really makes a difference in a good, intense college baseball atmosphere.
It completely, I mean, like Trey Gorey, all those guys, I mean, we just talked about them. It affects them.
Coming up, Tucker Harlan has your top five at five, and Tony Vitello in 25 minutes this afternoon on The Drive. Stay with us. Hour number three coming up.